Hey friends, welcome to the Make Life Matter podcast. I'm Angela Donadio, and each week I share compelling conversations with leading voices. They encourage us to ground our worth in the word instead of the narrative of the world. Together, we'll make our lives matter no matter what. Here's this week's episode. Well, hey guys, welcome back to the podcast. And I have been chatting with today's guest for over a half hour because it obviously feels like we could just talk for hours. You're going to love her. So get ready, grab your coffee, or if you're in the car, just turn it up because I want you to make sure you hear every minute of this conversation with Victoria. Oh, Victoria, I forgot to ask you. I want to make sure I pronounce your last name right.
Riolano.
That's what I thought. And I just went to do it. And I was like, oh, shoot. I forgot to ask her. So I.
Unless you want to be Spanish.
No, Riolano. I'm Donadio. I'm Donadio and people butcher it. So I was like, oh, shoot. I forgot to ask her. Riolano is what I thought. All right. Let me try it one more time. Hey guys, welcome back to the podcast. And I'm so excited about my guest that I'm bringing to you today. You're going to want to turn this up. You're going to want to lean in. If you're a mom, a grandmom, a dad, you know, a wannabe mom, I am sitting down with Victoria Riolano today, the author of Warrior Mother. And listen, if you are a mom, you know that it is not easy raising faithful kids in the world today. Parents do not often know what to do. I have two young adults, and sometimes it is just a complete posture of dependency on the Lord to lead us and guide us. So what if mothers started with their own hearts? Well, in her new release, Warrior Mother, Equipping Your Heart to Fight for Your Family's Faith, Victoria has written more than just another book on parenting. She has written the ultimate guidebook on being the warrior mother your children need. She is a military mom of, wait for it, 7 children. She holds a master's in child and adolescent psychology. She's a professor of psychology at 3 different universities, as well as a co-pastor and a church planner. And she lives right in my hometown. And her writing has been featured on Crosswalk, I Believe, the YouVersion Bible app. She's been on the 700 Club, and you are going to love her. She is dynamite, dynamite in a package. So, Victoria, I'm so honored to have you here on the Make Life Matter podcast.
Thanks so much for having me.
Well, we've been talking about all the things today. We've been on the call for like a half hour before we were officially recording. We have a lot in common as pastors' wives, as moms, as women who want to just hear God's voice and follow his call on our lives. So tell me a little bit about your story, Victoria, and how this even book, Warrior Mother, came to be such a passion of your heart.
Yeah, so a little about me. I actually have 8 kids now.
That's what I thought. I thought that was outdated. I read it and I'm like, I feel like she's got a brand new baby since that one.
We do. My husband and I have been married for almost 18 years, and It's been quite a journey. Whenever people ask me, how do you do it? I always say it was the hardest when we had 1 kid. That was the hardest thing I ever experienced in my life. But around kid 3, I realized that parenting was much more overwhelming than I thought it was supposed to be. Mm. I spent a lot of time literally hiding from the kids in my closet. Like, I don't know what I'm doing. This is overwhelming. I found myself very anxious, very depressed, very overwhelmed. And it really wasn't until I surrendered my parenting journey to the Lord and asked him to really just show me how he wants me to raise the children that he created, that I really started to see a difference. And so just that life shift, that mindset shift, that these are his kids that I've been entrusted with, has really helped me to like be more courageous, more resilient. Mm-hmm. And so that's really the heart of this book, helping mom to realize that God is on her side, and that when she has the Lord in her corner, that he will fight for her. And because of that, you can be a warrior for your children, just really be able to pray for them and believe God's best for them.
I love that because, I mean, I've had Sharon James, we've talked about praying for your children from head to toe, and Becky Harling, who's got the Connected Mom podcast. There's women who talk so much about our parenting, but what I love about what you're leaning into, Victoria, is how we're taking care of our own heart, because we can only, we can't give what we don't have. So talk a little bit about one of those shifts. For example, you said you felt overwhelmed. I mean, even hiding in closets, like, I can't do this. Was there a particular nugget the Lord gave you, or an insight, or a specific decision, or something you began to do differently that helped you to take care of your own heart in this journey?
Yeah, I always say the pivotal moment for me and my journey happened when my daughter was probably around 5 years old. She started to have seizures, and there's something about the doctor telling you these type of seizures children don't wake up from. There's what I heard in my head was, make sure your daughter doesn't die on your watch. Like, that's what was in my peripheral at all times. And during that time, I literally drove myself crazy. I bought special seizure monitors, special pillows. Nothing was going to happen on my watch. I was depressed, anxious, all the things, didn't sleep. I watched her 24/7. And about 2 years into this process, I, was just praying, and the Lord said, do you trust me with my daughter? Do you know that I love her more than you ever could? And something about that just reminded me that I was taking all the burden of parenting within myself, my own strengths, my own ability. And just from that day on, I want to tell you, number one, she never had another seizure like the rest of her life. And she's soon to be 18. So God showed his faithfulness in that situation. But even more so, he taught me that I don't have to try to control every single thing. He knows what's best for her. He knows how to speak to her. He knows how to heal her. And for me, that's when the mindset completely started to change. So it's not all about what Victoria can do and what Victoria can't do, because I don't know if you moms have noticed, but we can't control everything. But we
What?
can
We can't.
control it. We
What?
can't control everything. I already tried it. I'm eight kids in. It doesn't work. And so, oh, hopefully
You're
he's still
good.
there.
Yeah, you're good.
Okay, good.
And that's one of the biggest mind shifts, I think, for any of us, just even as a believer, is you're not going to be able to control everything that happens in life. And I think parenting really, if you've got any kind of control issue, and we all do to some extent, it's going to highlight it. At some point, you're going to come up against that and realize you got to work that through with the Lord. I'm so glad, by the way, that your daughter has been seizure-free. But boy, the pressure that you were carrying of this cannot happen on my watch. Speak to the fact that a lot of us as moms feel like maybe an over, not that we're not, we don't want to be good moms. We are responsible to and for our children as long as they're in our home. But talk about this overdeveloped sense of responsibility that bleeds into what you're saying that's almost crippling. Talk about that, because that's a fine line for us to know. When are we carrying more than we should be carrying in the area of feeling responsible for our children?
Yeah, I think our body and our mind lets us know. This is when we cannot sleep at night. This is when we're over anxious. This is when we're second guessing everything we said, everything we did. And these are those moments when you realize, okay, I'm really overwhelmed. I think if you find yourself in that situation where you're like, I don't know how to process all this that's happening right now, that's when we lean into the Lord more. I have definitely been guilty of coming up with random things to do. Like, maybe if I do this, it'll happen. Or maybe if I do this, like in her case, I'm like, maybe if I pull her out of school, maybe if I watch her at all times, maybe if I put her in the room with me. And I started to come up with all these anecdotes that I felt would fix the problem. But the reality is, I need to run to my father for this situation. So I think if you ever find yourself just trying to Dr. Google yourself, through the situation, or leaning into other things or other people to try to fix it versus running to the Lord, you may find yourself where you have really taken on too much of the parenting for yourself versus relying on the Lord.
That's so good. That is such helpful insight. You just gave someone an opportunity to take a deep breath right now. And it's not that we don't go to those resources and our doctors and our friends and our coaches and our pastors, but first and foremost, it's knowing that the Lord, like you said, loves our children even more than we do. Sometimes that's hard to get our head around, and that he's got this, and he's got us. That's the big piece of what I love about what you're leaning into. You have a whole chapter, Victoria, where you talk about having a war plan. So can you share a little bit about what that means and the importance of what you call a war plan?
Yeah, so one thing God was really showing me during the process of writing this book is we plan for everything. If you're going on a trip, you're planning for it. If you go to the grocery store, you probably have a plan too. So when you think about your life, we tend to think about what we know is important. But when it comes to children, when it comes to parenting, most of us just kind of let it happen. Well, whatever happens, happens. But the Lord has really shown me, what would it look like if you had a mission statement for your home? What would it look like if you had goals for your children? What would it look like if you had certain things that were non-negotiables? If you look into different countries, when they go into war, everything is very calculated. There's a strategy behind the war. They don't just fumble into war. They will be defeated every time. And so when it comes to children and family, what if we already know the enemy's gonna attack, right? But if we come in at with a strong perspective of, you know what? I know this is what the Bible said. I know this is what I'm believing for my child. I know these are the goals that I have put in place. These are the things that I'm not gonna allow my child to do, no matter what anyone has to say. When those attacks come in, you already are coming into that situation with a level head and knowing that God has already spoken to you about the situation. So some things I don't even have to think about. The answer is no, because it goes against what God told me for my family. So for me, having this in place, even if you say, well, I don't know about a mission statement, okay, what are your goals? If you say, I don't have any goals, okay, well, what are some things that are non-negotiables for you? Having something in place so that when the enemy tries to give a different plan, you're able to combat that with God's word.
Oh, that's so good. Being proactive. Out of curiosity, are your kids a part of that? Are they aware of this is the mission statement for our family? These are the goals that we have with the Lord framed for your life. Talk about how much they're a part of that.
Yeah, so for our older kids, we'll talk to them about it a little bit. Like, okay, well, what do you think, our family verse should be? Because we've updated it before. But other than that, like, our mission statement is we are a family of character, compassion, and commitment. So I say that a lot. I'll say, hey, I don't feel like you're showing much character today. Like, let's talk about that because that's who we are as a family. So that's like our way to keep that in front of them. Like, hey, character. And we have Bible verses that go with this thing. So for us, it's very important to me that I don't just preach at my kids. Like, this is the Bible story. You do this, you do that. I want the word to come alive for them. So just yesterday, I had the worst headache. And my 3-year-old says, I think we're supposed to pray for you now.
Oh, wow.
Why? Because if he has a headache, we're going to pray for him. And so we're modeling that Christ-like life. So then doing anything on the war plan, that's not a big deal because this is just what we do. Like, we live out the gospel like every day so that when things come up, they're already ready. They're already prepared for this is how we handle situations because this is the foundation.
Yeah, that's just so good. Just that alone, the book is worth it just to get this chapter on a war plan. And some of you, this is brand new. You never even thought about developing a war plan. We have businesses with mission statement and vision
Right.
statement. We do at the church as well. Your values, we have them posted in our foyer of our church. We have them on our website. We try to memorize them and incorporate them. So once that's integrated into the fabric of whatever that is, the culture of your church or your business, or in this case, your family, and you've all agreed on that. You're all centered around these same, listen, we've decided that this is important to us. This is a non-negotiable for us as a family. And I just think that's so important and crucial. I want to lean into another chapter you have, and you kind of just started to hint at it. It's called Modeling the Faith chapter. And it's a challenging but important talk about a couple of aspects in that chapter and why you believe this is so key in modeling the faith. And it might just be more of what you were sharing, but you've hinted it. It's one thing to tell them. It's another thing to model for them and with them. So share a little bit why that's so important.
Yeah, so I grew up in an era where it's like, do what I say and not what I do. Right? That doesn't work. Children tend to emulate. 60% of all learning is observational. which means I'm more likely to do what I see you do and what I hear you say, I'm more likely to say. Have you ever been around a friend and they have this little catchphrase they say all the time? And before long, you're like, you know, or whatever their catchphrase is. It's just inherent. We model what we like, right? And so when it comes to stuff like that, it's like, why wouldn't, if this faith is important to you, if the word is important to you, if you want your children to grow up in a place where they know the Lord and where when they have their children, those children know the Lord, it starts with you. Are you willing to go out of your way to make prayer important? Are you willing to go out of your way to help them know how to break down the Bible? Are you willing to go out of your way to just instill that culture that God is first in this house? And so that should affect the way you talk about people. That should impact the way you talk about God's church. That should really impact the way you deal with your spouse. What are you modeling for them? Because if you act like it's okay, they're going to think it's okay. And so that's something that God has really, really shown me, especially over the years. If you want to be humbled, 1 year my child had to write out mommy's favorite things, like for the Mother's Day. And I think she put something like, oh, mommy's favorite show is like, it was a reality show I should not have been watching. But it's something about your first grader writing that down on the mommy card that they hand to you that you're like, and this first grade teacher was actually the worst.
We get
What? And the
outed
first
by
grade
our first
teacher was
grader.
the worship leader at our church. So I was embarrassed, but the truth is, I let her know that that was okay. This is what we watch. This is how we are. And so, needless to say, I never watched the show again after that, but I modeled it. So it's the same thing with our faith.
No, I think that's so crucial. What about the mom who's listening, saying, okay, my kids are a little bit older, maybe they're even teenagers now. I didn't, where was this conversation 10 years ago? I didn't put a war plan. I'm struggling. My kids slamming the door and going to their room, and we don't have good communication. Let's talk a little bit about parents who feel maybe some regret or just helpless with the relationship with their kids, not in the place they'd like to see it. Maybe not completely estranged, but just tension, a disconnect. What encouragement would you have for them if their kids are maybe a little older? How can they implement some of these steps, even later in their parenting?
So one thing that I talk about in the book is that our greatest responsibility is to love. And so that may look different at different stages of parenting. For that rebellious teen, the way you love may actually be through discipline. The answer is no. I need to take your phone. You can't go here. That may be what love looks like in that season. Later on, when your children are out of the house, love may look like praying for them because that's all you can do. And I think establishing to yourself that their salvation is not your ultimate responsibility, it is their choice to make. Also, if you've set the groundwork, you've done what you're supposed to do, at the end of the day, we have to trust that God's got them, that God is watching over them, and He's going to see to it that they're going to be okay, even if we can't have our hands on the ground. So for me, the biggest thing is, if you don't have anywhere to start, start with the way you love them and the way you pray for them, and let God fill in the pieces and tell you what that next step is, because it's going to look different for everybody and every child.
That's so good. That's so good. I want to talk a little bit about a mom who might be feeling like I mean, how do you have eight children and teach three classes and co-pastor? And because speaking of modeling, sometimes we can say it, but they don't see how you're doing this. So for someone who's just feeling maybe overwhelmed, they want to see some changes in their relationship with their children, or developing a war plan, modeling, but they just can't quite get from A to B. And this is a little bit off the path of the mothering lane, but I would just love to know and have you share a couple of keys that keep your own life in balance, because this is about the warrior heart of the mother. And so how do you keep your own heart and even just your schedule in a place that you're able to to have this many things that you're carrying that God has entrusted to you.
Yeah, so for me, one thing that always ministers to me in the Bible is that there's a time and place for everything. There's certain seasons that you're just not going to be able to do what you were able to do before. You don't have the time or the capacity. So I'll say once a year, I'll pull out a plate, and I mean a literal paper plate, and I'll write out everything that I'm involved in. And I'll look at that plate and say, is my plate too full?
Oh,
Is
that's
there anything
good.
I can cross off of this plate? I also use that as an opportunity if someone asks, hey, can you do this? I'm sorry, my plate is full. Literally, it's full. Like I have too much going on. That's a practical thing that I do. Other than that, when it comes to spiritual matters and when it comes to how to take your home from like the disarray and the frustration to being a place of peace where God's presence is welcome there, I always say one space at a time. When I was growing up, my mom, she's loves things very clean. Okay. I'm a little cluttery, but she will always say, listen, when you walk into the room, start one corner at a time. Don't look at the whole picture. See the first thing that you can tackle. And so when it comes to our children, maybe you say, okay, I don't know about a war plan. I'm just frustrated. Okay, well, let's start with tackling those thoughts that's telling you that you're not enough, that's telling you that you're not a good mom. Let's start there. And then let's, go to the kids. So I feel like it's all about asking God, what is the best step that I should do next?
I love that.
What is the way that I can go about transforming my home in a way that's not going to be overwhelming to me, to my children, because change is not
That's
easy,
true. That's good.
right? You can't do this book, you can't do all this stuff in one day. You will
Exactly.
explode. It's not meant to do in one day. Life is about, the process and learning. And so for me, it's one step at a time. God, when it comes to my home, what is that area that needs the most work? Is it prayer life? Is it you teaching me how to pray? Is it doing times of devotion with my kids? Is it coming up with some non-negotiables because things are out of control right now?
Yeah.
You'll know what it is when you pray. And so, what my advice that I would give to that mom is pray about everything. Pray about if you should take that trip. Pray about if your child should be in that public school or that private school. Pray about if you feel like putting a war plan in place is going to be too much for your family and this time. We don't know, but God knows like what's best for your family.
That's good. I even love that you added, because we could hop off the call and someone says, okay, tomorrow I'm putting a work plan and it's going up on the wall. And I'm, and the kids are like, what's going on? Because you're right. I mean, we don't get there overnight, and we don't undo some maybe habits or patterns. Like, this is a journey, and this is a relationship that we want with our children. And so I love even that you shared, you don't have to feel the pressure of doing this overnight. And just start with that one corner, that space. There's just so many great practical steps you're giving us today, Victoria, so that parenting doesn't just seem like this big, how do I become a warrior mother? It starts with having the heart of a warrior within yourself. And that comes from the prayer life you're talking about, the relationship with the Lord that you're talking about. I'm just curious, as we kind of like start to wrap up, I know you love the Lord and you love the Bible and you're teaching it to your family and you're pastoring yourself. But who is the person in the Bible for you, other than Jesus, that maybe you most look to or inspires you to make your life matter for the kingdom?
Oh, I love Moses. The reason why I love Moses is because I think we can all see a little bit of ourselves within Moses. Because when he's first called, he's like, excuse me, God, I don't talk very well. I have a past. Like, who am I to do this? And I definitely felt that way, like not good enough to do what God has told me to do. But in his story, he does it anyway, right? And there's different trials, there's different obstacles that come, but he still seeks that face of God. He still goes up to the mountain, even when it's hard, even when he's disappointed, he still pleads on the behalf of all those people that he has to, lead. And so for me, Moses is, he's just my guy. Like I'm like, I see myself when I read that story. And my prayer is that I can lead graciously
Yeah.
as he was able to do as well.
That's really, really good. He's so impactful. I mean, what a phenomenal leader. And speaking of this whole conversation, he had some very strong female women in his life that fought for him in their prayer life. You think about his own mother, you think about Pharaoh's daughter who rescued him out of the water, you think about his sister. So, I just love in my second Bible study, my first chapter is about the women who delivered a deliverer and the women that surrounded, even back to the midwives who stood up to the executive order of the Pharaoh and let Hebrew children live, which led to to his own birth. So, you know, even in that story, we see the power of the influence of a mother, of a woman on the life of what was going to be one of the greatest leaders of all time. And I can see the sometimes the reluctant leader, but yet still the leader, and he's extraordinary. And it's just a great reminder to us, we're not going to always feel like we're up to the task, right? We're not going to always feel like we have every answer as a mom. But going back to where we started, you don't have to feel like it's all on you. You know, you might be literally in Victoria's shoes today, getting that diagnosis that you didn't want for your child, or fighting with a rebellious teenager and you just don't know how you're going to do it another day, or three littles under your feet and you haven't had a moment to yourself. Like, Victoria gets it. And I just want to encourage you to get a copy of Warrior Mother. It's a resource you didn't even know you needed, and it's going to become one of those dog-eared every post-it notes and rewriting and just go back and even listen to this episode today with the practical insights that she's sharing. Victoria, I'm so grateful for you and your obedience to the Lord to just obey him with whatever he asks of you. I know people want to know how they can connect with you and get a copy, and I'm going to make sure we have the links in the show notes and her name is spelled for you there so you don't miss anything. But how would you like people to find you and get a copy of Warrior Mother?
Yeah, so definitely go to www.victoryspeaks.org. That's my blog. All the links to the books and all my socials are right within that website. But then also, you can go to Amazon, Target, Walmart, all those things. Just type in the name of the book and you'll find it there too.
I love it. I love it. Well, I'm going to invite Victoria to pray for us. And so we just want you to know if you're a mom, if you're an expectant mom, if you're a grandmother, get a copy of this for your daughter. By the time this airs, we're going to be close to Mother's Day. What a perfect Mother's Day gift. So can I just encourage you to get a copy? Victoria, would you pray for us today, especially for any mother who's maybe feeling discouraged or is feeling encouraged now to kind of implement some of these ideas that we've talked about, that they would know that God is with them and all that he's calling them to do in this season.
Absolutely. So, Father God, I just want to thank you for an opportunity to share with these amazing women, God. I thank you that parenting is such a joy, God, that it's a privilege to just raise children that you've created, God. So I pray right now for every mother who will listen to this now and in the future, God, that you would encounter them with your love, God. I pray right now that if anyone's feeling overwhelmed or discouraged, anxious, or depressed, God, that you would speak to them, God, that you would give them the peace that surpasses all understanding. Father, as they start to just continue to think about their parenting and how they can honor you best, I pray that all the days of their children's life will be blessed, God. I pray that every attack of the enemy against their life, against their mental health, God, against their emotional wellness, God, would just be rendered null and void, God. And I pray that you would raise up these women to be strong and courageous and resilient, moms who reflect and demonstrate your heart, God. And I know that parenting and mothering feels like such a heavy weight to carry, God, but I pray right now that you would help us to surrender our babies to you, God, that you would help us to know that you are with us, that you love us, and that you are fighting our battles for us. And to the moms who have children who are rebellious or who have gone astray from you, Lord, I pray right now for strategy, for bringing them back, God. I pray right now for wisdom, insight, and that you would dispatch people who would be able to speak to them and show them your love in the way that only you can, God. So I just pray that all the moms who watch and listen, God, they will be blessed tremendously, God, and that the peace that surpasses all understanding will rest on them. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for joining the conversation. If you've been inspired to make life matter, share a review and subscribe anywhere you listen to podcasts so you don't miss an episode. Connect with me at angeladonatio.com, Facebook at Angela Donatio VOV, and Instagram at Angela Donatio. Until next week, let's make life matter.